Hello, listeners. This podcast is hosted by International Idea. In the next minutes, we will help you make sense of what's happening today in democracy worldwide.
Hello and welcome to Peer to Peer. My name is David Tauris.
And my name is Erik Asplund.
And we will be your hosts of this podcast focusing on elections. In this series, we will share knowledge, experience, and good practice through our conversations with practitioners.
This afternoon, we'll be talking about election training and education in Moldova with Doina Bordianu, the director of Moldova's Center for Continuous Electoral Training, and her predecessor in that role, Natalia Iuras, who is now working as an election consultant. A warm welcome to you both. We are very grateful for the knowledge and experience that you'll be bringing to this conversation.
So we speak to you fresh from Moldova's parliamentary elections in July, and with the additional experience of holding Moldova's 2020 presidential elections under COVID conditions. So our conversation is certainly timely. So, Natalia, to help us understand voter education and training in Moldova, I think it's important that you take us through Moldova's electoral management structure. Could you give us a very brief overview of the Central Election Commission, including how responsibilities are allocated within it?
Thank you very much, David, for the invitation to discuss, first of all, the Center for Continuous Electoral Trainings and of course, the evolution and the latest development. But let's start with the CEC, where the roots of the CCET lays. So the year 1989 was marked, if we look back a little bit, by the restructuring and transformation in the Moldovan society. So the need for profound reforms put forward the rule of law and, of course, the basic for Central Electoral Commission, who at that time was sporadic, created for the specific elections, and at the each electoral cycle, its mandate expired. The influenced the setting up of the CEC was influenced by the adoption of the electoral code in 1997. By the way, this is the most frequently adopted legislative document in our country. So the need for a competent and specialized structure in elections was really at the rise. And at that time, the CEC was created as a permanent body with the status for organizing and conducting elections. So over 24 years now, the permanent activity of the CEC has allowed us to increase the quality and efficiency of the electoral management process. The commission consists of 9 members with a deliberative vote who are elected for a 5-year term. And by the way, these days, the parliament will elect the new commission. So we are really looking forward to see who gets into the new commission. One of the members is appointed by the president of the country, and all the rest, 8 members, are appointed by the parliament, respecting the majority and the opposition proportionally. So the CEC is assisted by a staff of 40 people, who includes the 6 directorates, 3 autonomous services, and 1 service component part of the CEC directorate. So it's a complex structure, and CIGDE is part in a way of it, but let's discuss later the CCET structure.
Absolutely. No, that's really helpful to know. So we've got a permanent electoral management body, and within that or somewhat part of that is the Center for Continuous Electoral Training. And if it's okay with you, I'll refer to it as the center from now on. So is the Central Electoral Commission assisted in any way by a sort of broader temporary workforce.
It is on every electoral event. The CEC presents its needs to the government, basically, if it's not planned electoral event, if it's not elections. But every planned elections has a very, I mean, rigid in a way, in another way, flexible structure, and it fits according to the election type, either it's a parliament election or it's a local election. So the staff expands to the necessity of each electoral event.
That's really interesting. So I having read your wonderful case study, I've read a little bit about the district electoral councils and the precinct electoral bureaus. Can you just give us an idea of the size of those? Let's say, taking the parliamentary elections, roughly how big are those respective workforces?
When you are referring to the lower level CEC members,
yes.
So yes, DECs, precinct electoral bureaus, and DECs, district electoral bureaus. So the first layer is DEC, and usually they for example, on parliamentary elections, they expand to around, if we have 36 multiplied by 11, so it's around 1,000.
Yeah, if I may jump in. Sure.
Yes, Doina.
Yes, we have for the parliamentary elections, we have a three-layered electoral administration. For the local general election, we have four layers of electoral administration. At the district level, we have around 400 election officials that are appointed 50 days prior to election day. When we are talking about the polling or precinct electoral bureaus, they are set up 25 days prior elections. And we have around 2,000 of PEBs around the country. This means around 20,000 election officials. So depending on the type of elections, we may have between 20,000 and 25,000 temporary electoral staff to be, you know, organized and trained.
Goodness me.
Answering your question, at the parliamentary elections, we have around 20,000 people. And because they are the most, let's say, the simplest in a way. And presidential is the same events. So around 20,000 people. At the local elections, around 24,000 people.
Thank you. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you have about 20,000 workers who are carrying out operational tasks on election day. Doina, how does the center deliver training for all of these poll workers?
So usually we use face-to-face trainings in order to train the temporary staff. We are using interactive and modern approaches and methods that are adapted to the needs of adults. As you may notice, we have a large amount of work to do, so it would be impossible to be done just with the permanent staff of the training center. So we are working with contracted trainers that are trained by us in the first place, and then they are delivering trainings to the DC members and to the PEB members. So all the work, coordination work, all the materials are elaborated here at the center. We are preparing all the teaching materials, participants' handbooks, also manuals, everything is needed for the training. And the trainer gets the entire package and deliver the training to the election officials all around the country. This way, we are making sure that the information is consistent and we have a uniform training delivered to all of the stakeholders. Of course, we had to, and lately with the pandemic, we had to adapt a bit the trainings, which was probably done by all the countries around the world.
Yeah. Let me make certain I got this right. You're saying that there was the center is doing both face to face training and remote training. Would you say that the ratio of remote training has increased due to the pandemic?
Yes, very much. So we before the pandemic, we mostly had a distance learning platform, but we mostly use face-to-face training. Now that with this difficult epidemiological situation, we had to adapt. So we try to benefit from this bad situation and to have more remote training, more digitalized training. So part of the trainings are delivered through our e-learning platform, part of them through webinars or YouTube video conferences, for instance, and part of them remain face-to-face training. I don't know, maybe half, if I should say a proportion between remote and traditional training, I'd say probably 50-50 at this moment.
So one piece of information I was wondering about was if it's a requirement in Moldova to train polling officials, and also if it is, I'm assuming it's codified in the electoral law.
It was at some point, but it didn't get ever implemented. So now in the electoral code, there is no obligation of the election officials to be trained, to participate in a training. Still, we have as CIG the obligation to ensure the training of the electoral officials. Or we have the mandate to deliver specialized training for the election officials.
To add a little bit on that and to elaborate the mandatory status of training the electoral officials. So the CIGDE, we didn't discuss how exactly CIGDE was created. It was created around that legislative amendment. So basically in 2011, by the way, this year, CIGDE celebrates 10 years mark. So this is a great opportunity, and we are really happy that the podcast will be released on the anniversary of CIGDE. So in 2011, after a very long deliberation and discussions in the society, in the parliament, adopted the legislative amendments around the specific obligation of CEC through CIGDE to train and certify all electoral officials. What Doina was saying that it didn't last, it was because political parties didn't have enough forces, their internal forces, to nominate before, like a year before elections. So they mobilized themselves very shortly before elections. That was one of the reasons why it was excluded from the electoral code. However, immediately after, they saw the benefit of trained people in their staff and of trained electoral officials. So it became, without a provision in the law, but it became basically a mandatory for all the PEBs and DECs to be trained, and later expanded to all the other stakeholders.
If I may, I just have one more question on operational training, and it relates to evaluating polling officials. So I'm assuming after a training, there is some kind of evaluation. And if there is, could you provide some more details surrounding that and how it's carried about, both for in-person training and for remote training?
Yes, we have a test, post-test, with evaluation questions. For the e-learning platforms, all the courses that are placed on the platform end with a questionnaire. And if the participant is successful, of course, if it has at least 70% of correct answers, the platforms release a certificate of completion of the course. For the face-to-face trainings, we use paper tests. If times allow, and usually this is the rule, to have a pre-test, an initial test, and a final one, so that we can measure not just the level of knowledge, but also the increase in this level, in their knowledge, and the impact, immediate impact of their training. For the webinars, we are using the Google Forms. We're using Google Forms for having the tests, of course.
We've touched on this a little bit already in our discussion of COVID and the difficulties and opportunities, of course, that it has presented to you as educationalists and trainers. But could you sort of think a little sort of more broadly, and what are, and whichever of you feels more comfortable, I think perhaps this one is for you, Doina, but what are some of the challenges that the centre faces in training 20,000 temporary poll workers, and how have these challenges changed before to after the COVID pandemic?
There are mainly two major challenges. First one is linked to the short time that we have at our disposal to train all these people. And the second one is linked to the last minute changes to the electoral framework. And I don't refer necessarily to the electoral code, but mostly to the bylaws adopted by CEC. Of course, the pandemic brought new challenges to us. And I would refer here to the limited number of participants that are allowed to be in the same room, or even we at some point in the evolution of the situation, we weren't allowed to organize meetings face-to-face meetings. Also, there are restrictions linked to the limited interactions between participants and the necessity to keep the social distance. This takes us to the necessity to have good, big rooms, training rooms, that we don't always have when going around the country in all the localities. In the last 2 years since pandemic started, we had to organize or to contribute to the organization of two national elections. We had presidential elections last year, and we had this year in July early parliamentary elections. Also, we had several local or regional elections to be organized. So as I was saying, we try to move to digital learning, let's say. We improved our e-learning platform. Now it is more accessible, more user-friendly. Also, we try to move and to use a lot the Zoom platform. So we try to, because distance learning has its own limitations, but we don't want to cut from the interaction during the trainings. So we had to study a lot to see what are the available online tools that allows you to keep the interaction between participants. And we are using breakout rooms in the Zoom platform to work in small groups on some tasks. We have some other tools as Padlet, for instance, to have a collaborative work during the webinars. So we are trying to keep the same quality that we are used our beneficiary already in our trainings. We try to keep the same quality on the remote training also. What is also a benefit that we had during this period is that we implemented blended trainings in several stages. And now we don't have just one training for each training electromanagement body, a lower level electromanagement bodies, but we are training them through several trainings, both face-to-face and distance. For instance, we had for them for PEB just after their appointment, we have a video conference with them, a live video conference where we explain them what they have to do during their first meeting. In Moldova, the first meeting of the electoral administration, lower level body is very important because they elect their management and they establish all the tasks that they have to perform during the election period and so on. Then we are coming with the face-to-face trainings in each district, and then just before election we have a short refresher training for them on the e-day procedures, on the tabulation and packing, on all this post e-day procedures.
And Just very, very briefly, if you will, Doina, what, just to give us an idea of what is the level of experience that these PEB, these temporary poll workers have before they begin their training with you for a particular event. Have any of them sort of previous experience, and if so, what percentage would you say?
So especially if two electoral events are close one to each other, we have bigger chances that the same persons would work as election officials, as we had this year. When between the presidential elections and the parliamentary elections, we had just 8 months, probably around 80% were the same. But otherwise, I would say that also depending on the composition of the parliament, which is directly linked with the composition of the lower level management bodies, we would have between 30% and 60% of staff with experience. Still, we have to bear in mind that the educational background of the election officials is very diverse. We don't have, for the PEB level, for the precinct electoral bureaus, we don't have any requirements about education background. So, the experience, work experience and education experience is very diverse.
Really interesting to hear. Thank you, Doina. This one's for you, Natalia, if that's okay. We're interested in knowing, does the training center's training mandate extend to permanent employees as well as the temporary workforce?
Yeah, Chick, the training mandate starts with permanent employees of the CEC members and staff. So before Chick, the CEC had no orientation packages that would introduce the newly employed staff on the or the interns, by the way, to the main activities and organization procedures relevant for a smooth organization of elections. So as a result, even in 2014, CIGDE introduced an orientation course for all staff, and the most eminent training platform served as available training resources, by the way, at that time was Bridge, who is still one of the most popular, I think, among CIGDE beneficiaries. So apart from CIGDE, from Training Center for Bridge trainings, CIGDE provides also ongoing orientational trainings to the CEC members and staff, so to the C and PEB members as well, using, as Doina mentioned, adult-based teaching methodologies. So the most CEC members and staff are trained in different topics in accordance with their needs and specialization. For example, financial operation, procurement, communication, training of trainers. And by the way, this is another subject that probably could be also developed a little bit because the delivery of CIGDE training programs would not be possible without the performance and professionalism of the trainers. So this is CIGDE conducts regularly the training of trainers in a cascade also manner. So the CEC searches trainers foremost within the CEC and CIGDE. And if it's not sufficient, the number of these trainers, then all the other recruitment techniques are applied. So this is how teachers, librarians, civil society organization representatives, or students even can apply to be trainers within CIGDE.
Natalia, you were mentioning various stakeholders there, and what would be also interesting for me to know, and our audience, I assume, is that training goes beyond the permanent workforce, as you mentioned, also the temporary workforce. So the center also provides training to civil society organizations, political parties. It would be really interesting to hear some more on that aspect of the center's mandate.
Well, acknowledging the value of diversity in elections and in politics, in the end, so CIGDE in a more normative way provides civil society, as you mentioned, because we are all civil society representatives, and any other electoral stakeholder trainings and education campaign and informational campaign. So to better understand their needs, CIGDE conducts training needs analysis or assessment, as we say, and develop training plans for each category of the stakeholders and specified groups, such as journalists, local public authorities, police force, political party representatives, pupils, librarians. This is one of the probably the training program that or civic education program that Doina could mention later. So university students, international observers or local observers also are part of these packages. They expand every year. This is what impresses me every time I read CIGDE's reports, because it never stops. So you can train anything that moves, right, Doina? This is how we usually say that it's important to find a group, and then the trainings will be adapted and adjusted accordingly to their needs.
Natalia, you mentioned students, and I know that the center has developed a master's degree on political and electoral management with the State University of Moldova. Could you say maybe something more about this degree, its design and objectives? Feel free to comment, Doina.
Yeah. Well, as CIGDE became a significant civic education partner to a large-scale scale educational campaigns, so one of them in 2015 was marked by the creation of the master program, Political and Electoral Management, as a joint effort of CIGDE with the State University of Moldova. This is the International Relation, Political and Administrative Science faculty. So the two-year program was designed to for people with a strong civic education position who are looking to deepen their knowledge in the electoral field and practice specifically. And today we are probably very proud to see the alumni of this program are present in the most craft state structures, such as parliament, CEC management. Soon we'll see the new composition that were students of our programs. Local government level also, they are present there, and the civil society organizations. So we are proud that the main objective of creating and educating a new generations of leaders is regularly achieved through this program.
That's really interesting. So this is a program that is not just sort of feeding the electoral management board. You have a vast sort of range of state sort of stakeholders who are all sort of benefiting from a more a deeper formalized sort of educational training that is focused on elections.
I would say this is a more scientific even level, and I think Doina can elaborate a little bit about it because this is one of her main babies, I would say, that she is developing now at a more in a deeper level.
Yes, so now we'll be the fourth generation of the students at this master program. It's the subjects are quite balanced between electoral and elections and politics. So the students are also either interested in elections or politics, and they can find any answers here. If we are talking about the, because our master program is part of our research direction of activity, so we are trying now to develop more in these directions and to provide to the decision makers some studies, some policy briefs, that would help to improve the operations and the legislative framework, electoral legislative framework. We have, I'd say, I think it's good to be mentioned here, we have launched several years ago a program of small scholarships for research for master students and doctoral schools. Each year we give this award five scholarships to the students in order to them to research a topic linked to the electoral field. And then they have the opportunity to present their work in a public scientific conference by the end of the year. Yes, now we have the first year students. Their background, as I said, is very diverse. We have people that graduated from technical universities and came to this master program to better understand the mechanisms of the politics and of the elections.
Doina, I know for a fact that there's not that many countries in the world that provide this kind of master program, especially on electoral administration. So I think Moldova is one of a few. I know in France they have a program on electoral administration. I know Scuola Santa Anna in Italy is also providing an online version called MEPA. But it's quite significant in the ways you described of, you know, trying, you know, this is a way of professionalizing electoral administration, right? I have another question, Doina. Now, we had a really good conversation with Pilar Bijo the other day. She, by the way, is also an electoral trainer and educator, but from Peru. And she spoke of the importance of voter education and the imperative of delivering voter education that includes a civic education aspect. For example, educating citizens on the importance of voting or engaging in elections in other ways. Are these sentiments that you also agree with?
Actually, I probably can talk for hours about the importance of electoral and civic education. At CIGDE, we have an entire philosophy on this topic. We are saying that democracy can be learned, and actually this is our unique selling proposition. We started to focus more on civic education since 2015. And now we have educational programs for all levels of schooling. In 2020, just before the pandemic started here in Moldova, we piloted a program for kindergartens on civic education, and it was really very, very good perceived by children, and we will definitely continue with this after we go to back to the normality, and we have access in the kindergarten again. We have electoral comics with a cute hedgehog Archie, named Archie, in the main role. We have board games. We have intellectual games for more grown-up students or people. We have training on organizing election in the student councils in the high schools and gymnasiums. We have contests, different kinds of contests, of essay contests or electoral vlogging contests. More than this, and Natalia mentioned also about librarians several times. What we are doing now, we are trying to use the existing networks in order to cover more people with our educational program. These kind of existing networks are the libraries and are the schools for the moment. Now we are working, and these days will be launched publicly a study on the necessity of enhancing electoral education in schools. So in our schools at the moment, we have a subject named Education for Society that have a small component on elections and on the electoral education. What we are trying to do with the help and the support of the UNDP, of our partners, we are trying to develop a curricula for an optional subject in schools, specifically on the electoral education. So we are doing a lot, but of course it can be done more than this, and we are willing to do more than this, and we are very happy to have the support of our partners in this in our desire to be helpful and to contribute to the raising of the electoral culture of the country, of the population.
This is, to me, is fascinating, and it. Moldova, as I sort of read all about, looking at the sort of centre's website and read about all of these programmes, I'm so impressed, and I'm interested in what partners you have in developing these programmes. Who are you working with?
We have a partnership agreement even with the Ministry of Education. I was thinking about this curricula for an optional subject. So during our research on the topic, because first we'll release a study, and then we'll start working on the curricula. We had meetings with the representative of Ministry of Education to see what is their opinion. So we have meetings actually with all the relevant stakeholders to see how they envisage this curricula, this new subject, and also with the Ministry of Education. Of course, we are discussing and we are using this partnership that we have with them in order to organize, to help children to organize elections in school councils, as I said. All the activities that are done in schools or with schools have to be firstly agreed with the Ministry of Education. So we are trying to have a good dialogue with the ministry.
But that also translates to all the other state organizations. For example, National Institute of Justice, when it comes to judges, CIGDE has an agreement with them. So it's a partnership. They provide, for example, the space for the trainings, or sometimes even the trainers, in combination with the trainers from CIGDE. So it's most of the trainings are in partnership with the local partners as well.
Thank you both. I think we're running out of time, but I think it is, or would be interesting for our listeners, I think it was already mentioned by you, David, that there is a case study on Moldova and the training center, written by Natalia, and Donia, I know you were also involved. And it's available on International Ideas website. So with that, I just want to thank both of you very much for taking part in this discussion. I think I've definitely learned a lot.
Absolutely, and it's wonderful to hear this exciting work that you've been doing in Moldova, and great for our listeners to hear about it, and hopefully read more.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was really interesting to talk to you as well. Thank you.
So that's it for today. For any suggestions or recommendations, feel free to email us at elections@idea.int. My name is Erik Asplund.
And my name is David Tauris. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Democracy Ideas podcast. Keep following International Idea on social media. We need all of you to participate in constructing better societies. Goodbye.